Often imitated, never duplicated. The one and only B. Scott. You're listening to The B. Scott Show. Get ready, love muffins.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. We're back with another B. Scott Show podcast and things of that nature. I have my whole gang with me today. Well, almost a whole gang. We have Denver, Walker, and Brian.
Hey.
What up?
Yeah. So much is going on in the world. I just wanted to get into the topics. I mean, my love muffins have been DMing me. They have been emailing me. Number one is like, where's the show? And number two is, what is going on with Fallon?
I said, it was a holiday weekend. Can we take a break?
Right. It was a holiday weekend, you know, but I wanted to talk about it myself because I wanted to hear what you guys think about the whole situation. And so of all the places, I mean, and I don't want to be shady. Now, I know I love the Lord and the Lord, you know, loves my heart. But of all the places for Fallon to go, I was a bit surprised at the venue that she selected.
I never heard of it before.
I had never heard of the person before. It's, you know, no tea, no shade. The person follows me on Instagram. I'm pretty sure they are familiar with me and I'm not trying to be shady. I just was just shocked that that was the venue. And so she did this interview and it was very dramatically edited. They tried to make it feel like a 2020 special. It was like a 2020 special. And it was giving me a lot of things. And I think we have a little clip from it.
Fans were speculating that you may have been cheating on Simon.
Simon doesn't get caught unless Simon wants to be caught.
He convinced you to join a show, and now he's engaged to another one of the cast members.
God, the balls on him.
You had this woman in your home. She met your family. She swam in your pool. Do you resent that?
I meant what I said when I took my vows. It hurts. It hurts like hell. I love hard. I love really hard.
Oh, wow. So, yeah, I mean, before we can even process that, I have some exclusive information. So drop the exclusive.
A.B. Scott.
Exclusive!
I know, that's right. So this is what I've been hearing. And I don't think I mentioned it on the last show or previous episodes, but what I've been hearing from a reliable source is that they were constantly looking for a third person. And so that's what they was common for them. Like, I think they were, you know, looking for a third person. I'm pretty sure that is like somewhere along the lines of swinging. And I also just find it, you know, very interesting now, you know, knowing this information that we know and the back and forth that's been transpiring since Fallon did her interview. You know, Simon came out and provided what he called was, you know, receipts of her cheating on him with this guy that, from my understanding, has been a lifelong friend. Is that correct, Denver?
It is. It is. He dropped a couple of receipts. What was it, yesterday? I think over the weekend, just security camera footage of them on the property that I guess he didn't know about. And the dates were a little confusing to me because Simon first filed for divorce back in January and then withdrew it. And then they tried to work it out. And then on Valentine's Day, they posted some picture of them talking about they were fighting for their love. And then 5 days later, on the 19th, he filed for divorce again. And one of the screenshots of the security camera, the date was 2/16, which was in between Valentine's Day and when he filed for divorce. So there's just a lot of like cloudy, weird stuff going on. And then if you back it all the way up, the picture that the guy, his name is Jalen, posted from Mexico when they were there was from November of 2020. So clearly the man he's accusing Fallon of cheating with has been in their orbit for quite some time.
Mm-hmm. Well, Jalen spoke out today, and I ran this earlier on the site, so if people want to check out lovebscott.com, he put his own receipts out, a screenshot of Simon texting Jalen back in January saying, hey, where's Fallon? Is she good? Is everything okay? And Jalen went in to admit that he was basically her quote-unquote best friend an assistant, and he was living in the house. That's why he was on security cam.
Which he did post some like birthday pictures, I think, of himself in the house as well. So he's been all up and through their business for quite some time.
Absolutely.
And so I don't know what Simon was trying to, I don't know what those pictures were supposed to prove exactly.
I think they are, in my opinion, they're trying to use what they may have to substantiate the story that they're trying to put out in the court of public opinion. From what my information, exclusive information that was brought to me, I just believe that they were just doing all type of things. And sometimes when two people start to pair off and do certain things together without the third person, then that becomes the problem. Mm. And so I don't even know for sure. I mean, they could have been, from what I understand, they could be the type of situation where the way that Simon was looking at Portia when she came over to the house, even in the footage that we saw on Housewives of Atlanta, I would not be surprised if Portia stayed or came back later and they all kind of got down. I mean, I'm not saying that did happen, but I would need to know if that didn't happen. You get what I'm saying? So like, I mean, and I'm not judging either. This is not about judging, but I think what's happening is they're picking and choosing what they want to put out to help support whatever narrative. So he's trying to paint her as a cheating wife. And so that's why he can turn around and marry somebody or be engaged in somebody in less than 30 days or even during the damn ink. I don't think the ink has even settled yet, right?
No, they're still finalizing.
Yeah. So they haven't signed the contract yet and you then moved on with somebody else in that Mayweather boxing matches in Florida. With Portia. Did you see that?
Mm-hmm.
Portia was down there. They're so excited. Like people, you know, can tell.
So what are the timestamps on Portia being in the house on the security camera? That's what I want to see.
That's what I want to know. Either
in January or February?
Yeah.
Or March?
Because you can clearly see how he was looking at her on the show.
Mm-hmm.
He was sitting over there in the background looking at those women. And I'm sure he was, you know, looking at Portia's thing, because it was thinging. And
it always thinging.
They probably, I mean, I just don't know. People get down. Like what we're learning is that people get down in a lot of different ways. You know, we hear the Tiny and T.I. stuff is a lot going on with that, you know, and then, you know, and Candy, everyone knows this. It's not a slam. I'm not saying that Candy was doing what allegedly Tiny and T.I. was doing, but Candy also gets down in her own dungeon in her house. I mean, that's a known thing, but you have to, you know, I think Candy has procedures and protocols in place.
Correct. That protect her. It's a vetting process.
It's a vetting process. It's procedures and protocols in place. And that's why she was so pissed when Phaedra came up with that, you know, that lie that she told and brought Portia into that lie, because she knows she has procedures and protocols in place and that would never happen. Because it becomes hard. You know, the thing about it is that when you become famous, it's hard to be freaky as you were before you became famous. Because, you know, now you have this money and people can come and say whatever they want to say or change a situation to completely different than what it was. And because you have a name and because you have the money, it sticks to you.
Yep.
You know, and I will say this regarding, you know, Tiny and T.I. situation. I have yet to see or hear of any tangible evidence that we have right now. We don't even know the identities of the people, correct?
No, not a single one. I mean, we knew Sabrina, but even she's saying like she'll apologize or she'll drop her claims or whatever if he apologizes. So I'm like, you couldn't have been that traumatized.
Yeah.
Why would ever happen to you?
Yeah, I don't know. I just think that I'm torn about, you know, I think the whole situation with Fallon and Simon and Portia is just messy. It's messy. It's lowbrow. It's not something that I just don't think, like, I don't know. Like, I just wouldn't want my spirit to be a part of something like that. Like, it's just way too much. Like, I wouldn't want somebody, you just filed for divorce. Y'all are still, you know, and according to what he's saying, she's staying in a house that he's paying for right now to this day. And I think he probably should, being that he's still technically married to her. And at the same time, there's some other white woman that's posting Cash App payments from him.
Jesus Christ.
You know the woman that we did the story on, Denver? Yeah, she's still now posting Cash App payments that she got from him.
And I believe her.
Yeah.
I believe her.
I believe, you know, the thing about it, like people with money, they just be doing a whole, you know, he probably thinks he deserves a harem. And Portia's like, well, great. I can just use this on the show and I can flaunt this money for television. And, you know, she knows that most people in the audience, you know, people follow the money. So people get excited about those things. I mean, similar to Erica Jane. You know, now we know that Erica Jane's husband was stealing money from Tom, Dick and Harry for Erica to come, you know, come across as if she's this wealthy woman. And she was, but what her husband was doing was scrupulous.
Right.
And it's probably the same thing with Simon. You know, most of these billionaires, they ain't getting that money, you know, from loving the Lord and being a little baby Jesus. So it's just, I don't know. It's just like, the whole situation is just like, it's just so much and it won't go away. Like, I just don't know what the answer is, but I didn't sign up for this.
I don't think any of us did.
I didn't sign up for this.
I do want to know what the rest of Fallon has to say. Like, I do wonder her perspective because she hasn't really said much this entire time.
Yeah. And I feel like, you know, that's why Fallon should have come to a resource like me because I would have got down to the nitty gritty. I would have asked her, is it true that you guys were looking for a third person all the time?
Okay. He's asking her the questions that she gave him.
Yeah. No, ma'am. You don't come on my show and tell me what questions I can ask you. It's kind of like what happened with Old Girl. You know, she was, you know, what's her name? Candace. Oh, and then Candace's husband popped off on The Interviewer. Did you see that? So no, Candace's husband from Potomac went off on The Interviewer because allegedly he lied during an interview that he did with Candace, his wife.
Oh, geez.
And he was saying something and people went in on him, was like, how could you be talking like this, especially during the Pride Month and, you know, da 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 da, you know, just because you have an issue with him doing an interview that he did with your wife, how does that pertain to this particular interview, you know? And it's just, all of it is just bringing out all the mess. The whole situation is just like, oh my God. So yeah, I don't know, you know, what's next for Fallon, all of them, but I'm not sure that I mean, I guess some people would be excited to see this on a new season of Housewives, but to me, it's just, you know, I think we kind of see what it is. I think I know the answer to these questions.
And it's all playing out right now without the Bravo cameras. So what's the point?
And it does feel like you said, B, that they're just trying to put out whatever information that supports their narrative that they're trying to spin.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Because it's like, you know,
Portia wants to have three weddings.
What should you think about that money?
You know, the thing about it is that, you know, Simon... You know, do you honestly think Fallon would be that crazy to be as controlling as people are with money are? Do you know how controlling people are with that have like that type of money? She know he has, I mean, she ain't that, I mean, she can't be that aloof where she would not be aware that he would find out exactly what she was doing. If it was, that's what makes me think that they already kind of had this type of thing going on. Where he, I mean, you can't tell me that he wasn't politicking with other women.
Oh, I definitely think he was. And I think he's trying to paint this. Fallon cheated first for prenup reasons.
So I can go and do this.
I think there might be a clause in their divorce or their prenup saying like, if she were to step out on the marriage, it would reduce what she gets. And I think he's trying to, you know, make his case that even though we had things going on, she cheated.
Mm-hmm. I would want to know if he was cheating with Portia during the time that he saw her booty splashing up and down in the hot tub.
I need to get to the bottom of that. For all we know.
You say what now?
I said it could have started before.
Absolutely. It could have started before, after, in between. Like, I could tell by how he was looking at her. And I would not, if I was not down for it, I would not want my man, my husband, no less, to be looking that intensely and lustful at someone else's booty. The booty meat was what he was focused on. The booty meat. And speaking of, you know, just things going on and what people are wearing and meats and things and hair, Monique stepped into the discussion about the young sisters wearing bonnets. And I think we have a clip of that.
I was in the airport in Atlanta because I'm in Jackson, Mississippi now. And as we began to walk through the airport, I saw so many, actually too many to count and too many for me to tap. But I saw so many of our young sisters in head bonnets, scarves, slippers, pajamas, blankets wrapped around them. And this is how they're showing up to the airport. And it, I've been seeing it, not just at the airport, I've been seeing it at the store, at the mall. I've been seeing sisters showing up with these bonnets and headscarves and their slippers. And the question that I'm having to you, my sweet babies, when did we lose pride in representing ourselves? When did we step away of, let me make sure I'm presentable when I leave my home? Let me make sure I'm representing the family I created so that if I'm out in the street, I look like I have pride in myself. And I'm not saying no full face of makeup. I'm not saying no full front lace frontal. I'm not saying none of that. All I'm saying is, could you please comb your hair? And if you don't want to comb your hair, they got enough shit out here now, baby, where you can style yourself up and look like you have pride. I'm not saying you don't have pride, but the representation that you're showing, someone would have to ask you to know that you had it.
Okay, so I don't know where to begin with this, because it has so many layers and it's such a, it's a deep issue, because I just feel like it goes to, fundamentally it goes to, in a way it relates to how people think that, you know, when we get pulled over, for example, that there are certain things, you know, we don't make sure that we are adhering to everything and make sure that we're extra nice and make sure that we, you know, don't do anything to anger the police, right? And this kind of, in my opinion, ties into that, because it's kind of like, you know, who are we trying to be presentable for? And what Monique was saying, I mean, it kind of is that mentality of, we need to present ourselves a certain way so people, you know what I mean? So people can look at us a certain way and not, regardless of, and not taking into account that regardless of how we present ourselves, most, you know, a lot of people, particularly white people, are going to look at us the same way. And so I just don't, you know, I don't see why it's such a big issue, because I, you know, have done a lot of traveling. And I think across the board, for the most part, people are showing up to the airport across race in comfortable clothes, in oftentimes pajamas. People hair is looking all type of crazy, I mean, across the board. And I don't think that if I'm right now thinking I'm going to go to Miami tonight or something, I'm not going to go to the airport done up. And my right. hair is, you know, on the nasty seat and all this other stuff. Like, I don't see why it's like, and those people, I believe that it was a picture that was online that was taken of these group of women that were actually, from what I understand, they were heading to a funeral.
Oh, geez.
And I don't see why, you know, Black people always one way or another being policed. You know, people are policing us literally, like the police are policing us, but then also we police ourselves so we can be good Black people for the white people. And right. I'm sick of it. Like, I'm tired of, you know, why do we, I feel like if they could have stood there and just taken pictures of whoever went through that particular airport, and you would see a group of white people wearing God knows what, flip-flops, you know, socks. You know, that's not the issue I want to talk about. The issue I want to talk about when it comes to airplanes and stuff is like people putting their nasty ass feet all over the plane.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
That's the real issue. Monique missed it. Like, so, I mean, like, Monique is so quick to chime in to criticize the own Black females. Let's talk about the crusty ass white feet that I see all the time.
Okay.
Amen.
Okay. I mean, I think there are a lot of issues at the airport. I mean, I will say I have seen an increase in the bonnets. Mm-hmm. But I also feel like the airports and traveling has gotten increasingly uncomfortable therefore prompting people to show up as comfortable as they can. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Like there's nothing comfortable about flying anymore. The seats are packed. Mm-hmm. They're tiny. Unless you're spending a bunch of money, mm-hmm. we're in a goddamn pandemic. So if people want to be comfortable for 4 hours of sitting in one place, then absolutely. Just let them.
And also just, you know, I have a lot of hair and I am not, and I'm telling you, I am defending Black women with this because I am feel the same damn way. I am not about to go in there and get my hair all done up so I can sit there on an uncomfortable, hot, bumpy
hot
ride.
Hot ass plane.
Hot ass plane now. With people with hot ass feet and hot ass breath and hot ass farts. And I got to, because I'm Black and, you know, I got to show up and present myself so people can think, well, I fuck what you think of me. Fuck what you think of me. And fuck, I mean, to be honest, I mean, and no offense, but I'm going to say it. Fuck what Monique has to say. Because not too long ago, Monique had shamed, fat shamed people and skinny shamed people. She made a career off of body shaming people.
The nerve.
The nerve. And then got the nerve to be sitting there in a damn, what she was in, a damn robe?
A robe.
How about you get presentable to talk about people looking presentable?
Okay.
She got her hair all braided up, looking like, and you know, most of the hair outside of the braids, not inside of the braids. She needs to make sure she's presentable before she talks about this. I just think that it's easy to, and especially as you get older, it's easy to talk about the younger generation and what these my dear little babies. Now, I don't know why she got to take on this grandmother voice.
I don't know. I was just telling Jonte the other day, we were watching The Parkers on Netflix, and I was like, mm-hmm. Monique used to be so light and funny.
Yeah.
And now I just feel like she's so serious and upset.
Yeah.
All Monique the is time.
I think it's with weight loss. She done lost that weight and is like messing with her
brain.
Was
she hungry?
She could be. I just think that it's like...
I get hangry too, so I understand.
I just believe that Black women need to be protected. And is these type of situations... that why is it your business what they're wearing? What is them having on bonnets bothering anybody? Like, I mean, I've seen people who don't have on bonnets that should have on bonnets at the airport.
Okay.
Looking like some damn cats got to it before you got to the airport. Do you have cats in your bag, ma'am? Because that could explain what happened to your hair. So when I go to the airport, I pull my hair back in a ponytail. And I oftentimes wear a toboggan. What's the difference? I mean, it's not a bonnet, but it's something covering my hair because I'm not trying to, as I'm sitting there with all these bags and everything else going every which way, I'm not trying to have my hair go every which way too. You know, so I just think that it's easy for people to jump in and say certain things. And I just don't think that, I think going to the airport, you should feel comfortable. And Black women go through enough of critiques and people saying things and talking about what type of hair they choose to use or what type of nails they got or what type of work they decide to do with their bodies and everything. Like, stop policing fucking women and especially Black women. Everyone has a right. I mean, I talk about this all the time. Everyone has a right to show up how they want. And if they want to show up going to the airport, much like how I show up, I'll be damned if I'm going to wear my best to the airport. Cramp it all up. Like, you know, I'll wear an outfit that is like, you know, it don't matter. I'll be showing up to hotels coming off the flight looking like a fucking crazy person. They be looking at Mr. Sessom. They're like, are you okay? You know, like, it's early. I just got a plane. I'm sorry. Can you get my room, please? I just think that that's not, I mean, we have to give Black women some grace. And especially because Black women are the only reason why we have Biden anyway. So, you know, we need to like be clapping and supporting and uplifting our sisters and not taking the time to highlight some women that were headed to the airport. So make no coincidence. Monique says she saw her own people in the airport.
Mm-hmm.
But it only came about because that's what was already a discussion going on because this picture had went viral on Facebook. And I just don't see how we, you know, especially, I think this has, you know, it is the messenger in this case because unless I'm mistaken, and you guys please correct me if I'm wrong, Monique has spent so much time on the Chitlin' circuit, shaming women, you know, you skinny bitch, you know, you remember all that? She used to talk about people's ways, and, you know, funny, I'm all big,
but
you know,
remember
all this stuff that she's doing. And she had, was that Charm School? Some of the stuff that she said on Charm School was just not copacetic. So here she comes inserting herself, you know, as an older woman now, trying to be, you know, no one asked her for her mothering. That's how I feel about it. No one asked Monique for her mothering. And we sure as hell don't need nothing about her relationship advice. So the whole situation for Monique is just, I just don't get it.
I don't either. Like, I wish she would have, even if she felt that way, I wish she would have taken it and put it in like the comedy special. You know what I mean? Like, channel it somewhere else.
No, but I think people need to leave Black women alone, period. Just stop it. Just like, whatever hairstyle Black women choose to wear, that's their prerogative. Whatever dress Black women choose to wear, that's their prerogative. It just, I'm sick of it. I'm like, I'm so sick of it. Like, it's just because people feel some kind of way. It's kind of like how what the French Open did to Serena Williams. Like, she, when she was wearing that black catsuit, they felt like a Black woman's body in a black catsuit was provocative or offensive in some way. I mean, I think that was the borderline of it, is that they couldn't take her body in something that showed her body. And that is the problem. Like, we have a right to not be policed. You know, how can I sit here and say I have a right to my expression and my identity if I'm sitting here trying to police a Black woman's expression and, you know, how they choose to present themselves at different times? Like, that's, you know what I mean? It's like, come on. Like, it also wasn't a conversation about, you know, somebody having the ass out. You know what I mean? Like, I don't feel no problem. My only problem at the airport is just when you have, I just have a problem with feet, like bare feet at the airport and bare feet near me on my chair, walking to the bathroom. You know, your people in the airport, they will walk their barefoot ass into the bathroom. Have you seen that?
No, that's disgusting.
Where people just get up with no socks or nothing and just go, and some people have on socks, even wearing socks. Like, how would you fix yourself to go up in a bathroom with no shoes on?
Never seen that.
I've seen it. I've seen all type of foolishness. So for me, you know, for me to focus on trying to point out what a group of Black girls are doing when it's all this other shenanigans going on at the airport, I'll be damned. Like, and that's not what you need to do. I think what happens is, sometimes people who don't know social media and they see certain topics and they think this is what they need to jump in on to cause a commotion. And it did. She made it to the show. A lot of people are talking about what she had to say. But at the end of the day, this is not the commotion that you want. You do not want to be a Black woman condemning or policing your own community. I'm not here for it.
And then she came out with a second video doubling down.
Hey, my sweet babies.
Two, three, she. It's that accent for me.
But speaking of like weight loss and things, you know, Raven Simone is, she got on, I think, IG or somewhere, and she was talking about her 48-hour fast, and she was drawing mixed reactions from the fans. I think we have some type of clip.
Just so you guys know, I am 28 pounds down. Woo! I lost a shit ton of weight.
You're incredible, honey. You're doing so good.
Right now, I'm doing a fast. I'm doing a 48-hour fast. So, you know, we're on that journey right now. We just did a nice 30-minute walk.
Around the neighborhood.
Around the neighborhood. Headed back home. About to...
You know what else is exciting that we're doing? What? We can't give too many details about it because it's going to happen on our YouTubulars. But... we started a little, like, exercise journey together.
Oh, yeah.
A little exercise journey challenge, and
yeah, that's soon, gonna be fun. Yeah, and we're still filming it. We're gonna share it with you guys as soon as it's all done, but
I think it's safe to say it's kind of, like, transformative.
I mean, you see that jawline, though, right now? It looks like I have a neck.
Yeah, this is like more of the same. You know, I just don't.
If people want to lose weight, let them lose weight. Like, why don't?
Yeah, I mean, if people want to lose weight, yes, you can lose your weight. But we, you know, we support Raven no matter what. But don't come to us and make it seem like, I just hate how, I mean, I guess people don't realize how they come off sometimes. It's like, you know, we have supported Raven and loved her and been with her at any size. And so just because you decide, you know, that you are with this woman now, she has a white savior that's getting you, right? Was that her fiance? Or something?
Her wife.
Yep. Her wife, okay. She has a white savior now, and this woman is now encouraging you to get this jawline. Don't come to us and make it seem like that people who don't have that jawline or people who don't can't take the whole day off to decide that they want to, you know what I mean? In order to do a 48-hour fast, you can't go to nobody's job. You know what I'm saying? So she ain't working nowhere. She had the luxury to just, you know, stay at home and fast and be irritable and just be hungry and whatever she's, you know, taking to get through it. That's something that the rich can do. And to be honest, if she wanted to lose weight with the money she's been had from Disney, I don't know why she didn't do that a long time ago. It didn't take her to get married to some white woman to decide. And I hate that this episode is coming across as like white and black, but sometimes it is. It's like you just, the look of it is just coming off the wrong way. Okay. And, you know, she's like getting her life together and I'm doing this exercising and it's transformative and all this. And I'm like, okay, good for you. Okay. We don't, you know what I mean? Raven has like, she's worn us out. I feel like it's like she's worn us out. Like, I mean, we love her no matter whether she's big or small.
You know that's kind of how I feel about it.
It's just like people adulate. You know, it's just like people go up and down, but like don't. So many people out here don't have, and don't need to. You know what I mean? Like I would not. You know, I do not support these extreme diets and these fasting situations, because more than likely you're going to gain the weight back. That's the odds. So you're better off just kind of figuring out things that kind of keep you where you are. And that's something that you can, you know, where you want to be, but it's like a consistent way of living. Anything that's drastic. You've seen with Oprah, like Oprah, there was one, like I saw some footage not too long ago of Oprah and she looked like, I was like, who is that? She was so skinny. And no one can maintain that. Unless, you know what I mean? It's like, no one can maintain, like, you know, doing 48-hour fasting and all this other stuff. So it just came across the wrong way. I was like, you know, now you're going to show back up and this is what you're going to come, you know, in a way. And I'm not saying that it is. And what do you guys think? I mean, that's how it was presented. It was kind of like fat shaming a little bit, right?
I mean, I think it's just oversharing. I mean, I think that it kind of speaks to maybe an insecurity Raven's had, you know, especially the whole tidbit about the jawline. I think maybe she's always wanted one, you know. But, you know, with oversharing comes over opinions. And I just think that it's great if Raven wants to lose weight and wants to do it this way and she can do it, but she should have kept it to her goddamn self. Mm-hmm. And because she didn't, everybody's going to have their own goddamn opinions on it. Mm-hmm. And it's just, you know, it's another one of those things that we could have just lived our whole lives without knowing and or talking about.
I didn't need it. I didn't need it. And the likelihood.
Happy for you, girl, but I didn't need it.
You know, what? First thing you know, fast forward to they getting divorced and then Raven done blew back up.
Okay.
That's going to be the update. So fast forward.
Raven's home.
Raven's going to be like, fuck this fast. Fuck this, you know, this transformative experience. I'm back and you're going to love me. Yeah, it's just going to be her.
That's but it's interesting in that clip, like, because she was like kind of talking about it. But I do feel like, to your point, her wife was like, and we're losing weight and we're transformative. I think she was, if Raven was kind of more on the whole, like, I'm doing this. This is like my day to day right now. Mm-hmm. Like it was a little weird.
And it could be just being pushed by the wife. You know, the wife wanted her to look a certain way. And, you know, that's a slippery slope. You know, that's a very slippery slope. But, you know, say anybody out there that's dealing with, you know, weight loss or just weight issues or judgment, you know, I would say be encouraged, because there's a lot of people and imagery showing you and telling you what you should be. And you have a right to be exactly who you are and, you know, eat what you want. And it's your personal decision, however you choose to go about your image. I do believe that, because, you know, there are skinny, super skinny people who are unhealthy as hell. Mm-hmm. So just because you have a quote unquote high metabolism does not mean you're healthy.
Nope.
So I think it's just about where you want to be and making that decision for yourself, because you don't have to live for anybody else. And I just think it's unfortunate for people who may have been looking at Raven as someone who is comfortable in her skin enough to present herself at any weight, to now see that it's such a, you know, fierce thing. You know what I mean? Like, she got a jawbone now because she's losing all this weight. You know what I mean? It's like that, is that positive reinforcement. You know what I'm saying? Like, she's associating weight loss with being positive. And it may or may not be, you know? And I actually think that it's really bad for your body to be, you know, losing extreme amounts of weight and gaining extreme amounts of weight and going back and forth. You know, that yo-yo, you know, that's not good for your heart, from what I understand.
Mm-mm.
And so, anyway.
Well said, B.
Thank you. 50 Cent. 50 Cent girlfriend, Cuban Link, apologizes to Vivica Fox. And she said, I take the blame. And I think we have a clip of what somebody was saying. Was it Vivica?
Vivica.
Mm-hmm.
The love that I had for him, and still to this day, will always, like, he was the love of my life. I will admit that without any reservations. He will always have a very special place in my heart. But the reason why the relationship ended was because we just went public way too fast, had way too many people in our business. And if I was to have a chance to do it over, it would be that we stayed private a lot longer. But we got too many people in our business, and, you know.
Yeah, I believe that.
But I don't think she said anything wrong.
I don't think she said anything wrong. No. But after this, I think she should be done with it.
For sure.
Like, we cannot be having Vivica talking about her relationship with 50 Cent 20 years ago until the cows come home. Like, we just cannot continue to just be talking about this. Like, it's just, I don't know. These older ladies have gone wild. It's like, they just, like,
I think the quarantine, it's the quarantine. They've been sitting at home thinking.
It's quarantine, it's menopause, it's something. Like, I just don't know. It's just, that's also some information or interview or whatever. I didn't need to know that either. Like, and it gets weird. I could see how Cuban Link could look at that and just off cuff be like, you know, but he's in a relationship. And it gets awkward, you know, to call somebody the love of your life, because that's what happened with the whole Diddy Cassie thing. You know, Kim Porter passed away, and here he goes calling Kim Porter the love of his life. Meanwhile, he's with this woman that he ain't never married after all these years. He ain't never married Kim, and he, you know, married Cassie. And so I think that to her was probably the last straw, so she could exit the situation she probably already needed to exit, was him calling Kim Porter the love.
The love of his life.
Of his life.
Absolutely.
You know, and here we come, Vivica out left field. Here she comes, like, 50 Cent, without a doubt, the love of my life. Vivica be talking about the love of my life. 50 Cent. Yes. I'm like, what is really going on? Like, people just need, like, I don't know, like a detox. They just need just go home and just take a bath. That's what they need. Just take a bath and just, like, I don't know. I mean, I just don't see it happening. Like, I've had a lot of different situations that have happened in my life. I'm just a private person when it comes to relationships and stuff like that. But I'll be damned if I'm a broken tape recorder about anybody, even if it's true or not. I'm just not going to be giving nobody that type of, like, this was the love of my life, and this person is now with somebody who's drop dead gorgeous that's about 30 years younger than me. I can't do it. You know? And she just keeps bringing it up. Just
laughing at the audacity.
The audacity to so many people.
And to your point, like, I do understand that. I mean, as Cuban, I think that would definitely kind of shake me a little bit, you know, especially considering if she's saying their love was so deep and then me and this man are kind of new, how do I know that my man won't hear that and be like, maybe I should try this again and then fuck my whole situation up?
Yeah.
But she didn't have to go to the Twitter.
Yeah, and I feel like people, because 50 Cent is not, you know, the youngest chicken in the coop. I feel that people, you make a trade-off, you know, like, you either trading off, like, Cuban Link is young and she's beautiful and she's all those things, but she doesn't have, probably, she can't, because she hasn't lived that long to have the depth of experience that a person like Vivica Fox would have. And so it's just a contextual thing that, like, you know, we all, it's a trade-off. When you decide to date certain people, you know, it's a trade-off in terms of what they may know, what they wouldn't know, And it just depends. Like, there's certain things, like, you know, people think it's all about looks a lot of times, but a lot of times it's not, because it's about your comfortability with a person, is their understanding of you, and also the time period that both of you kind of came up in. You know, and Vivica did post a clip where she was, what he was saying, that, like, you know, 50 Cent had thanked her for the dress that she wore to some award show or something. Let's not pretend. I will say this, even though Vivica should not have really, I don't think it was called for, but also I will say, let's not pretend that Vivica was not the most drop dead beautiful woman at a certain point in her career.
Right.
Vivica was that bitch. Okay. Gorgeous. Like, absolutely stunning. And still, I mean, you know, now that some things have settled in, you know, we, you know what I mean? She still is a very attractive woman. And she knows that. She's not going to, you know, deny that that was a time where things were like, ooh. But yeah, that's how I feel about it. I was like, you know, I think that, and then Cuban Link came back after she saw that she had mentioned her and said, you know, 50 Cent is now with a beautiful woman and, you know, and she wishes them the best or something to that nature. And then this, when she said, I take the blame and apologize. And I thought that was good. And I did also see 50 did an interview where someone asked him about that. And he was also super nice about it. That was
great. Do we think that they'll try it again?
Say what now?
I said, do you think that they will try it again?
I don't know. I mean, I am not shocked.
It doesn't
by anything.
Sound like it's out of the question.
No, I mean, I think it's out of the question. I think 50 Cent was just like, that was a side of him I hadn't seen in a long time. It showed that probably he did have some feelings for her at some point. And it was nice to see him not just for no reason be nasty.
Yeah.
They just have a weird dynamic, mm-hmm. because it wasn't too many years ago, Vivica was up on Watch What Happens Live, mm-hmm. insinuating that 50 was gay because he wanted his booty eaten or something.
Mm-hmm.
And now all of a sudden,
how you said booty. Booty ate. You put an effort in the booty. That booty ate. Yes. Okay. That's true.
And now, yeah. So they go back and forth.
It's weird.
They're on good terms or not.
Yeah, it's weird. I think that it's just, I will say this, Denver. I think you were correct. I mean, I don't think it's off the table, because in this life, what I realize, nothing is off the table. Even when I look at myself, there's certain things I said I would never do, and then it happens, and I'm doing those things. So
look at you, doing it, and enjoying it.
And busting it. Like, it's just a whole, you just never know.
You never know.
And we mentioned this earlier. We talked about T.I. and Tiny. And so the woman that started the whole shit show for them, at least publicly, Sabrina Peterson, she said that she would... that she would retract, or she would just withdraw her complaint or the whole situation if they would apologize. And T.I. and Tiny laughed at her about that. And we have a clip.
Tell the truth about me. Tell the truth about what you did to me and apologize. I'm gone. I don't want one dime. I don't want one dime. And here's the other stipulation. Do it within 7 days. Do it within 7 days. I don't want... do this, what I'm saying right now, within 7 days. Within 7 days, tell the truth and apologize. And I'm gone. Sabrina, she done with. I don't want a dime from you or X, Y, Z. But if I got to keep drawing this out, I got to keep stepping away from my brand. I got to keep stepping away from my weed and my weed jars. I got to keep stepping away from my mother packaging. I got to keep stepping away from my damn, my fundraising I'm supposed to be doing, my $12 million fundraise. If I got to keep stepping away from my desk to answer these calls, it is what it is. 7 days. 7 days. Apologize and tell the truth.
Terry, what you think about that?
Nothing. I think it's a goddamn mess. I think that, I don't know if this was part of Sabrina's endgame, but, you know, you made a lot of mess for a lot of people. And then decided that, you know, you want a public apology and then it's all said and done. I don't think you can do that.
Mm-mm.
I think she kind of needs to see it through. And I, you know, I don't know what T.I. and Tiny are up to. I do think there is, you know, where there is smoke, there is fire. But I do think that, you know, sometimes people look back at things with different lenses and things may not be what they were, but they are what they are now. And I just, I still need the information. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like there's a lot of he said, she said, there's a lot of there's a lot of people not coming forward, you know, to say what it is that happened to them. So I would personally like for some of that to happen for this to continue.
I agree.
I need somebody, if you're going to hold them to the fire, burn them.
Right.
Stop dancing around it.
Stop dancing around it.
Sabrina can't, otherwise she would. And now she just wants an apology. At least that's what it seems like to me.
And then all of that stuff about all that self-promotion. And we don't care about all the stuff you got to step away from. Step away. Just step away. Just, you know, child. People are just like, that's what makes me kind of take what she's doing not seriously or what she's saying, because there's so much clout chasing in that. Mm-hmm. All the self-promotion. Like, she's just basically rattling down all the things that she's trying to do with her life because she said she wanted an apology. You need to say, you know, all I ever wanted was an apology. If they could give me that, I would just, you know, leave this whole situation alone. That's it. 30 seconds.
But if you're supposed to be a voice for these women and a change agent, and, you know, you're supposed to be the one who's exposing all the misdeeds, like, just because you got your apology, does that mean that everybody else you were quoting and sharing and screenshotting, you're just like, fuck them?
Preach.
They're on their own?
Good preach.
Point. They can figure it out? Mm. Like, I thought you were driving the train.
Good point.
She drove the train into the off the fucking rails. And then her relationship with Shekinah is gone. T.I. and Tiny, like, they, the way they were going, that way they have been back and forth with each other. It's crazy. Shekinah got up there and told all the tea. Second.
I don't know. Anytime a friend gets on the internet and starts telling all friendship, personal business, it's like, were you even really friends?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. What kind of resentment have you been harboring this entire time? Because, I mean, I've fallen out with plenty of people in my day, and I have never, never started running my mouth about their ins and outs and what they do and what I knew and what I was privy to. And just, you just don't do that.
That is very, you know, that is something that's a quality that a lot of people don't have. But also, I would say in general that, and I would say this to my love muffins in general, don't give, no matter how close they are or what you are doing with said person, don't tell anyone things you want nobody to know. Because correct. At some point, more than likely, you will fall out of friendship or fall out of love. And then this person is going to know certain things that you can't take it back. And people become a lot less. And, you know, and I understand what you were saying, Denver, but also when you're not friends with somebody, you become a lot less. Not to say that you're necessarily trying to tell their business, but it's a lot less of a, like, a hurdle to, like, if you slip up and say something.
Right. I mean, I'm not saying that I wouldn't let something out, you know, in conversation, in like a private conversation. Mm-hmm. I'm saying I just wouldn't get on the internet and air people's business out.
Right.
You know, like, if there's a conversation happening about you, I don't fuck with you, and there may be some context I can add to the conversation to fill in the blank.
Yep.
But I, you know, I may fill in the blank, but I think that might be a little bit different.
Mm-hmm. And I also think that, you know, with the situation that with T.I. and Tiny, I think the parameters of how things happen and went down, you know, 20, 30 years ago, even 10 years ago, is a lot different than what can fly in today's climate. And so,
absolutely.
And I'm really hoping that they learn from this and they start implementing whatever procedures and protocols that Candy has, because, you know, it's the same type of situation that happened with Will and Jada and August Asina, in a way. Mm. It's like, you know, people get sloppy or you bring in the wrong person and then they tell you shit. August Asina, you know, I'm sure that was not a new situation for Will and Jada. And it wasn't.
Mm.
But what was a new situation was you brought in somebody that skirted around the procedures and protocols. You know, like the NDAs or whatever you have in place or how you choose to conduct the situation that in the past that has protected you, but Jada got sloppy. You know, and I just think that, you know, you have to make sure that's number one, that you're not doing creep behavior and doing things that are illegal, first of all, for sure. But number two, just to make sure that you don't put yourself in a situation where people can say, can repaint the situation because exactly. or recast it. Because I'm torn, like, because I see how people move, you know, and by no means am I saying that people who are victims of sexual abuse or any of these type of situations do not have valid claims. I'm just saying that I believe that there are people who specifically try to put themselves in situations to be able to extort money.
I would agree.
You have to, and that's a shame because it diminishes the people who actually have been the victims of these type of situations. And, yeah. you know, I think that Sabrina, like you said, Denver, that's a good point. It's like, just, oh, you're going to get your apology, but what about everybody else that actually was a victim, allegedly?
Right, because they confided in you. They told you their story. You know what I'm saying? You were sharing their DMs. So it's just kind of like, okay, what about them? You know, and even if, you know, there's 20 of them and one of them's telling the complete honest to God truth, that's still a girl. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And she still deserves her justice.
Yeah.
Which in this case, there may be 5 or 10. Who's to say? But.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's like, you know, I don't know. I need to. And that's why it would be good for us to be able to actually hear from the people so we can hear exactly what and how things went down. Because I will say that, like, you know, it's not an uncommon thing. Like, a lot of people be in relationships and looking to bring somebody home.
Mm-hmm.
Much, and it's not like some far-fetched thing. Like, everyone wants to act like, oh, it's so unheard of. And I've never heard of, like, oh my God, I would never allow my man. But so many people are doing it. And it's in the music, it's in, you know, like, it's intertwined in a lot of the stuff that we have been absorbing. And so, like, it's not like a far off, you know, train of thought. Is just the bottom line is that you should not, it's all about consent. So that's the whole thing. Like, you can't be doing things to impair people consent and then try to get them to consent. And you just can't be doing anything without someone's consent. Is that a good way to say it?
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, I want to make sure, you know what I mean? Cause I got, you know, people have been combing through all of our episodes as well.
Okay.
So I want to make sure that I'm saying things correctly.
Which is so wild. It's crazy. People do go back and recontextualize things with, you know, new perspectives and new information and then demonize people for it.
That's my question. Is these experiences that the women had, is it something that that's been in the back of their mind their whole, like, all this time? Or is it because culture has changed and some of the stuff that we used to do back in the day just doesn't fly now, and you just go back and you're like, oh wait, that happened to me too?
I mean, I think it's kind of both. I mean, if you look at it this way, 95% of the people who went to Freaknik would be in jail for sexual indecency, sexual assault, you know, like a lot of stuff was going down back in the day that was tolerated that would not fly today.
Absolutely.
So I think, again, it's just, you know, language is changing. People are having these aha moments. People are able to apply certain things to certain things that they couldn't apply to before. I mean, I just think it's a combination. I think we're in a very interesting time.
Mm-hmm.
Agreed.
And it's, and like, you know, and all of it just becomes, you see how certain things are moving and you just have to start doing things to protect yourself. You know,
common
it's
kind of
like, you know, it's just, you can't allow yourself to be put in situations if you are in certain positions in the world, to put it that way, because it's not even a matter of whether it's true or not. You need it to go away because it's then ruining your image. And so that's how, you know, that's how what attorneys do anyway. Attorneys just come randomly represent people because they know that the celebrity is going to most likely move to try to sell it to, just because, they, you know what I mean, either way it's sticking. Like, so Tiny and T.I., like, their image have been tarnished. It's tarnished
forever. Yeah, forever.
There's a tarnish on it, you know. And that's why their show that was about family got canceled on VH1. Canceled, but it's just, it probably is, but it's not coming back, because, like, how can you come back if you were allegedly doing the things they were doing?
Yes. Yikes. Not worth the risk.
Yikes. Interesting enough, This one was actually really interesting. Wendy Williams reportedly refused to take a picture with fellow NYC radio legends Angela Yee and Miss Jones. And I'm going to speak from personal experience. I personally believe it because when Wendy Williams first got her television show, she did a little celebration thing that was on, I think, off of Sunset. And I remember being so excited because I was just like, wow, you know, she's getting a television show. She's on radio. She's crossing over. I was like, I have to be here. And I remember coming and like buying a bottle and just being so excited to meet her and to potentially take a picture with her, right? And so my manager at the time went over to her and asked if I could have a picture. And she actually said that he could have a picture, but I couldn't.
Mm. Wow.
Yeah. And that was many years ago. That was right when she had just done, she did like a little test run during the summer. And I think it was announced that she was going to, then that test run had worked and she was going to be able to have a full season. And so when I heard the story, it just kind of like, it was like, oh, okay.
I mean, I have no doubt in my mind that she didn't do it. I mean, she just does strikes me as that girl. And plus she probably didn't want to get up on stage with those ankles.
Correct.
That's Angela Yee.
That's what I think it probably was.
She said she told a story on the Breakfast Club.
What? No, I'm serious. I mean, no. Hold on, because we're not doing this to me, because she talks about it all the time. Mm-hmm. She puts them on Instagram. I mean, it's like a known thing. She sits on the show. Mm-hmm. You know, I think it's a very known thing that, you know, she tries to hide them or point, you know, out that they're messed up so that we don't talk about them. But I think that probably went into it.
Walker, I'm gonna let you say what you're about to say, but I did see the photo that she posted and it took me aback.
Oh, the leg
photo? Oh, yes. I thought it was fake. I thought somebody was like, you know, playing. And I take, you know, health conditions really seriously and all those things. But at the same time, that was a lot for me to see. It looked like it was naive. It didn't look human.
Yeah, and that's why I think she was dressed to sit, probably.
It actually, okay. And to be honest, it hurt my feelings. It made me feel like, I was like, oh Lord. I was like, if this is what she's going through, we should never have run that exclusive. Like, I was like, take it all back, Jesus. Take it from me, Lord. I had no idea this was going on. Because it's just, I'm looking at it, I'm like, whoa. I was like, is she... Now it, you know, it just explains so much because, like, it's like that, you know, woof.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't be surprised if she did not take the picture because she didn't want to take the picture with me. But Walker, you were going to say something?
Oh, yeah. Angela Yee just confirmed that on The Breakfast Club that the story that went down, you know, pretty much how it went. She didn't want to take the picture. Her and Miss Jones arrived together to the show during the last 15 minutes of the show. They walked in and they sat together, but when they went up on the stage, she just didn't want to go up there.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think it was shade to the hosts. I just think that it was just her just not wanting to do it for whatever reason.
It's obvious that Wendy is going through things. You know, she's, you know, announcing breakups with people that she was never really in a relationship with. You know, she's just... Wendy's doing all the things, you know, like it's interesting to see how things move. And she's still holding a grudge against us for, you know, exclusively reporting about her husband cheating and also that he had a baby on the way. Because, you know, before we were becoming like consistent. I don't even think, and the reason why I don't think she even really knew it was me that was DB Scott was because of how she behaved with me all those years ago. So when they started citing our stories every other day, I was like, she must be out of it. Didn't I tell you that, Denver? Mm-hmm. I was like, she must be out of it because she's not putting two and two together. And she had me all up and through the show. But I guess whoever the powers that be after I dropped the exclusive about the situation are not using our stories anymore. But yeah, I think that she's in a very precarious situation. I don't know how much longer her show can go on just because she's just, in my opinion, she's just not really there. So she's not really, you know, she's not really asking the things she needs to ask. You know, even when you look at the, her interaction with Jocelyn, it just wasn't need, it wasn't where it needed to be. Like the Wendy that we used to know would be able to had bopped Jocelyn back into place.
Right. The fire just was not there.
Yeah. It was no bopping back into place. It was no little, you know, cute, you know, commentary. It was just a streamline, you know, like, a you know, Jocelyn kind of just did what she needed to do. And I would never allow someone to come on my show and do that to me. If I couldn't control it, we would cut it. Cut the segment.
Period. I think her Zoom's acting funny. Okay, we'll be back.
Absolutely. I would have what Andy Cohen had during the reunion was a mute button. You know what I mean? That's absolutely has to be a must. It's like a mute button because there ain't no way. How did it even work? You know, years ago when NeNe came on my show and she tried to end the interview, I was like, wait a minute, no, you can't end the interview. Like, this is my show. I say goodbye. Okay. Thank you so much for coming. Goodbye. speaking of people just saying things and doing things, the California principal was escorted out by police after going off script during a graduation speech. And this is some shit funny shit. Play the clip.
Take these lessons. Get every degree you can get.
That's Stagg High School principal Ben Nakamura speaking to his graduates at the first of three ceremonies.
The Board of Trustees this past Tuesday voted 3-4 to remove me as your principal and not listen to the community, nor the students, nor the families, nor the staff of Stagg High School.
Shortly after he spoke at graduation, he says he was escorted out by district police, stripped of his keys to the school, and told not to return to the next two graduations of the day. Nakamura also told me as of today, he's now out of a job.
As of today, he's now out of a job. I love how reporters be talking.
Okay.
It's a lost art. And the fact that they still talk that way is hilarious. As of today, he is now out of a job. Okay, so we have all these like different little say what nows. Denver, do you want to take some of these? We have like about four we could talk about.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think the most shocking one that I saw was the Westchester school principal who was getting sued by her secretary for making her secretary take dirty pictures of her and keep them on her phone and hide the affair that she was having with another man from her husband. Wow. So to back it up, basically there was a principal who was doing some nasty things with another man and didn't want her husband to know. So she would take pictures using her secretary's phone. She would forward her lover's dick pics to her secretary's phone to make her secretary like hold them and just all this other stuff and keep these secrets and talk about her sex life. And so the secretary was like, okay, I'm not doing this. And so once she pushed back, the principal and I forget the man she was having an affair with, but the principal then like switched her job so that she wasn't anywhere near her once she decided to stand up for herself. And she was like, oh, I'm not doing this either. And so then she filed a lawsuit. And in the lawsuit, you know, she released all the pictures to the media and had all the proof. So, I mean, I believe every word of what she's saying, but it's just the audacity that some people would do right now in 2020 or 2021 with all of this going on. Mm. Just the last thing I would even think anybody could possibly do would be to make a employee take pictures of you and your thong in a school bathroom. Like, that's just
picture,
nuts.
And that picture like, that was just horrible. Nuts. Like she was about to take a dookie duke.
It's just nuts. Yeah, they weren't even good pictures.
It was about to take like, a dookie. Like, it looks like she's about like, to take
tell,
a dookie.
You can tell she's not present. Like she's not there. And she's a principal.
The principal.
The poor kids. Like the children. The poor what kids. About the children?
It looks like she just said, that wasn't me. It doesn't look like that in the photo.
What about the children? And the other one that was wild is I feel like I need to start doing art on the side because an Italian artist was able to sell an invisible sculpture for more than $18,000.
Jesus.
Mm-mm. Like I thought the banana tape to the thing for like $120 was a lot, but this man sold nothing. Mm. Literally nothing.
Nothing. Just like the air and said it was an invisible sculpture.
You have to think of it as a vacuum. And I got a lot of nothing. I have a lot of nothing. Like, I could be up here making bank. You know how much nothing I have?
Right.
I got a lot of nothing.
It's a vast amount of nothing.
It's a vast amount of nothing.
Sounds like I could fart and make money.
I don't know if I need to make an NFT or a sculpture or You know, I need to blow air in a bag and be like, here you go. Like, I just, I don't know. I'm in the wrong circles. I need to be in the art circle.
My goodness. I tell you, it's so much going on in the world. But as we close the show out, and thank you, Denver, for giving us some say what nows of the week.
For sure. You want to buy some art?
Yes, some art. You know, I'm going to start selling some farts.
No, I'm going to buy some art. I got plenty to sell.
Some farts, some arty farties. I wanted to briefly to give people the update about my BET show. And okay. That is going along. The planning for it is going along super great. And I'm very excited about it. And we are in all of the planning and production phases of the show. And it's going to be, in my opinion, very spectacular. And yes. I can't wait for people to finally see what my vision has been. And that's why I'm grateful to be an executive producer on the show. It was very important to me because I felt in order for me to express the concept that I really had for such a long time, like the concept of my show has not changed per se. Like I was doing it on YouTube, the B. Scott Show, and I did it on Sirius XM. And then like, you know, all the different forms of it still have a lot of the same components. But I am really excited about my Love Muffins being able to see me again, my Love Muffins being able to experience this journey. And I really do believe and wholeheartedly in my spirit believe that what you're about to see with my show is going to be just the beginning of a lot of things to come from me. And I am grateful for everything. It's very surreal. It's surreal to be put in a situation that you're finally getting something that you've wanted for so long. It almost doesn't feel real. It almost feels like it's a mirage, like I'm just dreaming this, but I'm not. And I'm learning so much about the process of production and, you know, all the powers that be and different things. And it feels so good to be able to hold space where I am. You know, I recently did an interview and it should be coming out soon with The Hollywood Reporter about or part of, you know, a article they or a feature they were doing. And one of the things that I was talking about is, you know, she asked me, how has my experience as a trans non-binary person been different? And I would just say that, you know, the change that I have brought about and the awareness that I have brought about and the space that I have, you know, created not only for myself, but for others, it happened in, you know, Black spaces. You know, me having, you know, my Sirius XM radio show on Jamie Foxx's Foxhole, you know, was a thing because at that time, that was something that no one ever would have expected that to happen. The same is true in 2013 when I was hosting on the carpet for BET as, you know, the first, you know, person that identified in a certain way. And now fast forward to where we are now, being the first trans non-binary person to host a show and executive produce a show on BET. That is something that is, you know, it was extra difficult. You know, it was already, you know, being who you are in this world is a challenge, but I do believe that it would have been easier for me had I been moving in more mainstream spaces, if that, you know, mainstream, you know, white spaces, to speak it very clear, is that, you know, I do believe, because I just think that it's been challenging, but I wanted to hold space with my own people. And that is what I feel like is going to be so beautiful about what I'm about to do. Because when I was growing up, you know, I didn't have anybody that looked like me to encourage me, to look towards, to know that it was okay to be who I am and how I feel and to express myself. I don't know, like, how I would have been, I guess, elated to see someone about to do what I'm gonna do in the Black space, like, you know, to have their own show and to show up and present myself however I choose to present myself during the show. That's what I hope I can do here. I want to hold space in my own community. I want to expose and share with people the beauty and the complexities that exist within the Black community. And
I feel
that's how I feel that I am different in that regard. And just in general, the show is going to be a blast. You know, I just want people to feel like they are escaping from the world. We're going to be laughing and joking and just, you know, having a good old time, shooting the shit. And I'm excited. And we're going to be taping in, like, I guess about 2 months or so. And okay. Yeah.
Awesome.
I'm keeping you guys updated, and I thank you guys for your support. And we have so many things that are going to be rolling out. And trust and believe, my love muffins, very soon. I've seen your emails. I've seen your text messages. I've seen everything. Well, not text messages, DMs, where they're like, when are we going to see you? We're missing your face. We love these TikToks you post on Instagram, but we want to see you. It's coming. It's going to be a whole lot of me. If God continues to give me air to breathe and a spirit, I'm going to come for everything that I am due.
No, that's right.
Amen. And on that note, double kisses. Bye-bye. Thank you so much for listening to The B. Scott Show. You can find me on Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube at Love B. Scott. And make sure you review the show on iTunes. And you can always find me on lovebscott.com.